Say it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Appreciate each one for coming. Appreciate this opportunity that we have. This is a holiday weekend, Memorial Day, and we're thankful for all of those men and women who not only fought. Memorial Day is to remember those that have fallen in the line of duty, and we're thankful for all of those that have given of their lives. Men and women down through the many years that have sacrificed it all so that we could have freedom to be here today. And we're thankful for that, thankful for those men and women and the sacrifices that have made. And I appreciate them this morning. I appreciate you for being here. I know a lot of people are on vacation, and a lot of people are gone today. And I was thinking about some things. This week, actually, we've been doing some cleaning out, and of course, school's coming to an end, and they're going to, at my school, they're doing away with South Central. They're going to rebrand the school. They're going to call it a new name, and they're going to come in and paint it. They felt like that South Central was too much. We have a lot of gang activity in our area anyway, and a lot of stuff. So they felt like that was too much like South Central Los Angeles, where there are a lot of gangs. So they wanted to get rid of that name and everything. So they're rebranding. So they've asked us to take everything that we can, pile it in the closet, stuff, whatever we can't, take it home, because they're going to repaint everything, going to rebrand the whole school. They're going to clean it up and do all these things. And so I was forced to look through things I haven't looked through. And Kelly's been doing some cleaning there at the house, spring cleaning. And I found one of my notebooks that I had when I first started here. I had written some things in it prior to coming here. And then once coming here, had written some things down. And then found my first prayer notebook that I had started out when the Lord told me to start writing your names down and start praying. And I started going through those things, Brother Carl. And I noticed that God has done a lot. God has done a lot just in the short time that I've been able, and many of you have been here for years and years, and there's no telling that if you were just to think down along life's pathway and time of what God's done at Mountain View Baptist Church, and you think about the things that God's done in your life and your time here, and I've only been here just a short time, and I got looking at all them things where I've got check marks by where we've prayed about, and God said, okay, I'll handle that, and just check that one off, and check that one off, and check that one off, and just so many things that we've prayed over the last few years that God has done. And you know what we're to come today for? As much as Monday is set aside for us to remember those that have fallen, every Sunday we've set aside time to come and remember the Lord Jesus and what He did for us, the sacrifice that He made, and the prayers that He's answered, and the great things that He's done in our lives. I don't think anybody here could say, you know what, God just hadn't really been good to me. I think everybody would have to stand up and say, I'm going to testify today that God has been good to me. I don't think there's ever been a time that you could say that He hasn't been. Now, there's times, no doubt, that you've struggled and you've had troubles and you've had trials. But if you're like me, if you'll go back and think about those, many of those times, those troubles and trials, you know who was in charge of those? You know who got all that mess started up? But anytime there's been anything good, you know what I'll have to claim? It wasn't Josh Cowart that done it. It was the Lord. He's been good to me and to you. And I'm thankful for Him this morning. If you have your Bibles and want to read with us, I'm going to read over in the book of Joshua, the 10th chapter. And I was trying to find a scripture right quick. It just came to me just a few minutes ago, and I wasn't able to find it. Maybe somebody might know where it's at. I tried to look it up real quick, but I didn't get it. Where Paul, I know it's in the book of Acts, where he's talked about spending a day and a night in the deep, and I couldn't quite remember where that was at, but if you find it, or if you look for it and you find it, you let me know. But we're going to start off in Joshua chapter number 10 this morning, and hopefully give you that. We feel like the Lord's laid on our heart, and I hope that it'll be a help to you this morning. Joshua chapter number 10. just going to read a few verses here. Verse number 12, beginning there. The Bible said, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." And that's all I feel like reading out there out of the book of Joshua. Did anybody find that in the book of Acts, or did anybody look it up? What was it?
2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians. Okay. 2 Corinthians what?
11th chapter.
And verse number 25, but I want to go back up just a little bit. Actually, verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11 and 23. He said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant." Paul was saying in labors, he was more abundant. "In stripes, being beaten, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews," 24, verse 24, "of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without," or on the outside, "that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. He said, 'It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord.'" And he talks about this man. He said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." And I could go on, but I feel like that's enough that we've read here in this scriptures this morning. You pray for us for just a few minutes, and we'll try our best to give you what we feel like the Lord has laid upon our hearts this morning. And Joshua chapter 10 is where we want to stick around and
three verses that we read in your hearing. The Bible here, Joshua, is going up against six kings. Now, there was five kings that was outside, but then there was one king, the king of Gibeah, that had, if you read, you remember how that he had taken men and they put on some clothing that made them look poor, and they took moldy bread and all that stuff, and they showed up to Joshua's kingdom and desired that they had let them in. And so Joshua and them being just a good person and not really wanting to shun anybody away, didn't notice that they were Gibeonites, and he took them in. And so all these six different kings and countries were going to try to overthrow Joshua. There was the Amorites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Gibeonites and all of these different ones. And they were trying to overthrow Joshua in this day and the place and where they were at. And the Bible said here, what I've read in your hearing, that Joshua, when he come to know all of this, and it was made known unto him that he just spoke to the Lord about it. And they were beginning to win the battle. They got all of them kindly cornered in one spot, the way that I read it, the way that it looks. And they couldn't get away, but the day was getting near to the end. They didn't have but just a few hours left of daylight. And so Joshua asked the Lord to make the sun to stand still. That they should be avenged of their enemies. And the Bible said in the 13th verse, and the sun stood still. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. That's the thought that's on my heart. And that I'd like to preach to you, God being my helper. That the sun stood still. I thank God, aren't you glad that whenever God man being Joshua at this time, I needed something from the Lord, and that the Lord did exactly what he needed. I listened. He said, son, I stand thou still in the sky. And the Lord made it so. Now let me say this. There are some that would say that this particular scripture makes you to know that the Bible's not true. There's some scholars that would tell you that that just can't be possible. That the oceans would go in trouble and all of this. And they'll say, because of the laws of nature. Let me say this. There are no laws of nature. There's only laws of God. God's in control of nature. And he's in control of the world. And he's in control of everything. And if God wants the sun to stand still, he can make everything else be just what it needs to be for it to be so. Amen. And there was a report I read some years ago that said that a man was trying to say that this couldn't be. And so there's a Christian there that told him, said, why don't you go and research it out? Said, we can go back through the lunar cycles and we can tell just how much time has elapsed from this to that. And this fellow, this great scholarly fellow, Brother Bruce, did exactly that thing. And went all the way back and found out that there was a day missing somewhere. They looked at, I can't remember what country or what sect the people, their calendar and the way we would find it today. And the same date, if I remember correctly, I'm running one calendar, had it on a Tuesday, and our calendar said it was a Wednesday, but it was the same date in June. I want to say June 12th. And that fella said, ain't that something? We're missing a day. Listen. And that fellow went on to study it, Brother Tracy. And he said, but I found that it's only 23 hours and 20 minutes that we're missing according to the book of Joshua. And that fellow, that Christian, told him, said, go on and keep on studying the Bible. And he got over into the book of Isaiah. Whenever the Bible said that Hezekiah, Abram was near unto death, and the Lord spotted him, what was it, 15 paces or something like that, and you know what that is, that's exactly 40 minutes, and that old scholar said, this must be real, this must be the truth, and that old Christian Christian man, led him to the Lord. Amen. He was trying to disprove the Bible, but by reading the Bible, he found out it was so. I said that to say this. It don't matter how crazy it may seem unto you. If it's in the book, it's right. Amen and amen. If God made the sun stand still, he made everything else to be exactly what it needed to be. Why did he do that? He didn't do it for a show. He didn't do it for this, but he did it for a little man of God that needed to be able to whoop his enemy. And God did it for that little old fella. And if he'll do it for little old Joshua, and brother, he'll do it for you today. Amen. He will. What'd he do, preacher? The sun stood still. Amen. You say, well, I don't know about that. And brother, listen. If it's in the book, it happened. And I believe it so. But this ain't the only time. And brother, that the sun. This is the only time that the S-U-N stood still. But I went and read my Bible and began to study. Did you know that the Lord was going through a city one time, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is known as the S-O-N, the Son of the Living God, and he was going through a city one time, and there was a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus who was out in the street and had heard that Jesus was coming by, and the Bible said, listen, that old blind Bartimaeus began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, be quiet. He don't want nothing to do with you. Would you just leave him alone? And the Bible said that old Bartimaeus just cried out the louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you know what the Bible said, Brother Tony? It said the sun stood still. Amen. Taking notice of a blind man that day, just as God made the S-U-N stand still, I want you to know the S-O-N will stand still in your infirmities and help you with them today. Amen. The S-O-N stood still. And brother, you know what happened to blind Bartimaeus? He come forth seeing. Amen. How many times has the sun stood still in your life? Hey man, I could go through scripture and Bible story after Bible story. You remember when the little old widow woman and brother that had the son of Nain, and the son had died on the inside of the city, and the Bible said that they gathered up and there's a carrying that boy on the outside of the city. But as that son was a going out, and there was another son that was a coming in. Amen. And the Bible said that Jesus made the bearers of that dead boy to stand still. It didn't say Jesus stood still, but I'm persuaded to believe that if he made them stand still, he was a standing still too. And he spoke to that boy and told him to get up, and that boy got up from the dead. I'm telling you what, brother, every time Jesus stands still, it shows his compassion, it shows his care, and it shows how much he loves us today. Amen. You know how he was crucified? Not standing on his head, not laid over on his side, but in a standing position. And when the sun stood still, amen, that very day, what did he do? Amen, he took the handwritings and the ordinances that was against us, Tony, and nailed them to his cross, blotting out the transgressions, amen, of the law. Thanks be unto God. I don't don't know about you. I'm thankful for all those men and women that's died for our freedom here in America. And I appreciate being an American citizen today. And I thank God for all those that are even serving today. But I want you to know, without all of that, if I was living in a communist country, if I was living in the darkest, lowest place in the world, in a place without any kind of understanding, I want you to know, one day on a cruel cross of Calvary, there's a man that stood still for me, and he stood still for you, and that ought to be enough to make all of us shout glory, hallelujah, today. Amen. Because there was a son that stood still. Amen. Joshua needed to do what? To defeat his enemies. And he asked the Lord to let the sun stand still. And the Lord did. You'll say, preacher, there have been a lot of times I've asked the Lord to do something for me, and he didn't do it. Listen, sometimes we ask concerning our own lust. And the Bible said we ask amiss. You know why? It's because we're so caught up in ourselves. We live in the most selfish generation in time. Hey, man, I thought this morning, and I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to go ahead. I thought this morning as we come up, and begin to notice how many's gone. Now listen, don't get mad at me. I thought, boy, President Trump's got this economy working just right, so much so that everybody can go everywhere. I wish we'd get back in such a shape where people had to come to church. That's what I thought. Now, I might not have thought that, Herman, but I thought it. I thought we might need to get in such a shape where people have to pack up and come to church instead of packing up and going everywhere. Ain't nothing wrong with a little vacation every now and again. But, bro, it's getting to where it's this way everywhere, every Sunday, all the time. Why? Because people have forgotten that there's a man of God. Brother, listen. That stood up and cried out for us and took our place. And brother stood still and was beaten and crucified and did not talk back, but took it all because of us today. Amen. That's exactly right. Jesus stood still. The Bible said he opened not his mouth. Amen. Is that still in the Bible? It is, ain't it? In order to be shouting today, thank God, Bible preaching. I like it. And brother, when the Lord stands still for you, it ought to make a difference in your life. It ought to make such a difference in your life. As we talked about in Sunday school, it ought to make you want to do right, live right, act right, talk right, dress right. It ought to make you want to go to church. It ought to make you want to do a lot of things. Preacher, what's going on? I'm going to tell you what's going on. We're living in a day and a time where that nobody needs God or what they think. But you wait till the first tragedy comes. You wait till the first trial comes. And they'll be crying out for a man to stand still so that they can get some help today. Hey, man. Hey, man. You remember when 9/11 happened? Lord of mercy. I mean, for months and months and months, the churches was full. I mean, people that had never talked to me about the Lord started asking me questions. Brother Tony started asking me about the Lord. You know what they're worried about? They're worried about the apocalypse. That's what they kept telling me. I'm worried about the end of time and the apocalypse are coming upon us. I said, listen, I tell you what. Jesus said that we're not to fret ourselves of tomorrow. I'm not worried. They said, why ain't you worried? I said, because he stood still one day. And I put my hope and trust in him. That's what Brother Rob, sang a song a while ago. Brother Robert led. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust a sweeter frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Upon the solid rock I stand, for all other ground is a sinking sand. I'm trusting in Jesus today. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Trusting in Jesus today. The one that stood still
That little old mother was a weeping going outside the city, but she was a shouting coming back in. For her son that was dead was now alive again. Amen. Martha and Mary saddened at the day of Lazarus. If only you'd have been here, Lord, our brother Lazarus wouldn't have died. If only you'd have been here. I wonder why they thought that. I wonder why they even thought that that death wasn't any. I'm going to tell you why. They'd been around it when death couldn't mess up anything else before. Hey man, listen, when you get around live, you ever get around lively people and you like to get around them kind of people? I'm not talking about just lively and jovial. I'm talking about that's got life in them. And you tell they something different about them. I like those people. Brother Danny Robertson, I had him come preach for me here. He passed away just a few weeks after that. Y'all remember me telling you about that? Brother Danny, he preached real fast. I mean, you had to really listen because he was a real fast talker. It didn't matter where you met Brother Danny. He is a street sweeper. And run that street sweeper down in Carsville. I'd meet him at McDonald's and he'd want to talk about the Lord. And he'd get just as excited, hey man, at McDonald's as he did behind the pulpit. Oh, Elihu Abernathy. Brother, one time there in Walmart, and he is a preaching the word of God, and they said, "You got to get out of here." He said, "What about my groceries?" They said, "Just take them with you." He started shouting all over and said, "The devil's done paid for my groceries." Hey man, I like to meet people like that. Brother Clinton Green, my mom and daddy's preacher, it don't matter where he's at what church he's at, he's going to be Clinton Green. If they're quiet, it don't matter. Brother Clinton's going to be Brother Clinton. And there'll be a little shout every now and again from Brother Clinton. You know why? Because Brother Clinton's a shouter. They tell a story of Brother Clinton when he first started preaching. He is walking to school there in Lindale, Georgia. And he is a preaching the gospel of Christ. And everybody had come up upon him, he'd start preaching to him. Walking to school as a little 13, 14-year-old boy going to Lindale School over there. Preaching. Guess what he's still doing today? Preaching the gospel. Brother Raymond Cook. Hey man, listen. I know I told you about him. Great man of God, helped me when he was about 90-something years old. And they put him down there. He helped Brother Clinton in revival. And they put him in the Quality Inn down there in Carsville. And Brother Raymond was not about cutting up or doing. He was about getting people saved. And you know what? Everybody in that Quality Inn checked out about after a day he was there, because he had done knocked on everybody's door asking them if they had been born again, if they hadn't come to church tonight, and maybe you'll get it. And Brother Raymond was Brother Raymond. My brother-in-law sat down beside him and said, "What do you think about the Olympics coming to Alabama?" He said, "Olympics? I ain't worried about no Olympics. I'm trying to get people saved." My brother-in-law said, "I felt like I walked back to the back with my tail tucked between my legs." Had life about them, Dalen. There was something about them. I've been accused of walking closer to some than I do others. You know why? I like to be by people with life. If you ain't never been walked by real close to me, don't get mad. But there's probably a reason. Amen and amen. And bro, I like to get around people that's got some life about them today. You say, "Preacher, you believe that's scriptural?" Well, started walking around, what was people doing? They was a following him. They was a following him. We talked about him this morning, that old boy that was found in the tombs, naked and delirious and crazy. Why, they put chains on him and he'd break them. That's how crazy he was. Just break chains. You don't think that there's power in darkness? There he is. That old boy had darkness in him, and the Bible said he just broke him chains and would run in them tombs and cut himself. But when he met Jesus, he wasn't having to break no chains. They'd already been broken. And he wasn't having to cut himself no more to find some blood, because, hey man, Jesus was going to be the blood sacrifice he was going to need. Amen. You know what the Bible said, Brother Bruce? It said that they come back and they found that old boy sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now listen, I'm not real smart, but you help me out just a little bit. If that fellow was sitting at his feet, what does that mean Jesus was doing? Standing still. Right? I mean, I don't think he could have been running around, that fellow sitting at his feet. He was standing still. I'm going to say this and I'll be done. Oh, Stephen. The Bible said that they began to stone him. And he said, Lord, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And the Bible said that he saw the heavens opened up. And he saw Jesus standing. Amen. Standing. Amen. At the right hand of the Father. I don't think he was moving. I don't think he was cutting a jig or nothing. I think he was just standing still, watching. The Bible had said just prior to that that he had ascended up to heaven and was sitting at the right hand of the Father. But here he was standing. Amen. You don't think he stands still for you? In your busy, chaotic life, when you don't think about him, and sometimes days on end you forget about the Lord, do you think there's ever a moment of time that he forgets about you? There's not. Never a moment of time that he's not concerned with you and considerate of you and loving you. The day the sun stood still, Joshua. Old Paul wrote there, and I read it to you. Thank you, Brother Bruce, for finding that. Old Paul wrote there in the book of 2 Corinthians, the second letter he'd wrote to him, about how much he had suffered. And he said, as for that suffering, if anybody had wherein the glory of suffering, he said, I should glory in that suffering. He said, but I glory in the Lord. You know why I suffer is what he was saying. You know why I go through these things? Why I'm willing to suffer? Because of the Lord's glory. I've put my trust in him. David said, what shall man do unto me? When we get to the place where it doesn't matter what's going on in our life, it doesn't matter what sickness comes upon our body, it doesn't matter what's going on with our finances and our troubles and our when it comes to the place where we're just simply focused on the Lord Jesus. I made that statement earlier about the finances and people being able to go and things like that, and I was just being a little comical. But it's true. You want to know why those old timers had power with God? They didn't have nothing else. Go look at their homes and look at our homes. Go look at their cars and look at our cars. Go look at their paychecks and look at our paychecks. Go look at their clothing and the knees on the clothing that they had and the knees on the clothing that we've got. Go find their place of prayer. And then go find yours and see which one's more used. I'll tell you why they had power with God. It's because they didn't have nothing else to trust or lean upon. They leaned on him. And if you want power with God, that's what you're going to have to do today. You're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to lean upon him. Give him your whole life. And watch what he does with it. As I was going over them little check marks today, or through the week, as we found those notebooks and stuff, I was thinking, boy, God sure has been good to us. But a lot of people would not see it that way. They'd focus on what's going on today. They'd focus on what's going on this weekend, or what's going on in their lives right now. And they forget about all of what God's done. Paul didn't forget, did he? He wrote it down. He said, I've been shipwrecked 3 times. Day and a night in the deep. Stoned, beaten, cast into prison. You know what he was doing? He wasn't bringing up all the bad times. He was bringing up all the glory of God in his life. God got me out of that. And God got me out of that. You say, why do I have to go through so much? Maybe because God wants you to give him glory for it. One day the sun stood still. And because the S-O-N stood still one day, you and I have the right and the liberty to live in this great freedom that God has granted unto us. And it's a greater freedom than we experience in America. Amen. That's right. It's a greater freedom than what we experience in America. Come around and get a verse of some song. That's all I've got this morning. The day that the sun stood still. Ain't you glad he did for you? That Sunday morning at Blue Pond Baptist Church. Here I come, little old 7-year-old boy. Didn't know what to do, didn't know how to do. But the Lord stood still for me to be able to get what I needed to get that day. And he saved me. He saved me. That very morning, he saved me. I've been saved ever since. I ain't always lived like it. I ain't always done exactly what's right. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I've no doubt made God ashamed many times. But aren't you glad that he's a forgiving God and a merciful God? What about this morning? Maybe you're at a place in your life where you're not where you need to be with God. And today would be a good day to make things right and get things started anew. Maybe you're here and you're lost and God's been dealing with your heart, letting you know that you're lost, letting you know that you need a Savior. And you feel that in your heart, that pull, that draw, you feel that this morning. And you want to be saved. When you know you're lost, the moment you know you're lost, I believe you'll feel that drawing power. I believe you'll know that God's drawing you to Him because He's loving. He wants to save you this morning. And if you'll come to Him at that moment of time, when you come to that realization, I believe God will save you. You don't even have to come up to this altar, as I said this morning in Sunday school. You can just get it right there. I had a little boy in revival one year. I just started preaching. Hadn't been preaching very long. At New Canaan Baptist Church, I'll never forget it, down there in Carsville, we was preaching. And that little old fellow was so stuck in the place where he was at. He was shaking. He was right over here in this area. And he had to hold of that bench, and he was shaking. And he was just a little old teenage boy. And I said, if you want to be saved, but you just don't feel like you can get up, I said, just raise your hand, and we'll come to where you're at. And boy, he raised up both hands. He didn't just want it just like, he wanted it this bad. He'd never been in church, and it had scared him to death that night, the thought of dying and going to hell. And he got so afraid that he couldn't get out of his seat. He was just sitting there. He didn't even stand up, but he raised both hands. He wanted to be saved. We went back there to where he was at, and he said, what do I do? And I said, you just got to trust the Lord. I said, you just talk to him, tell him what you want. And that's all I said to him. Boy, in a minute, here he come up. His face was changed. He wasn't shaking no more, and he wasn't burdened down no more. But there was a glorious light that come over his face. Saved. He still goes down there as far as I know. He was just a teenage boy. He's probably in his 30s now. What about that? You don't think the Lord can change your life this morning? He can. If you'll let Him, He can change your life. He can change your destination. As we stand together and as we sing a verse of some song this morning, what's your song, brother?
511.
Page 511. You sing with us. Pray for them that need prayer and come and pray if you need it. Go ahead, brother.